healthy churches are deeply rooted in Christian history. We stand on the shoulders of brave men and women who championed biblical purity, resisting every temptation to veer off course. And while it's critically important to remain focused on maintaining our mission, how do ministries stay fresh, flexible, and relevant? Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll conclude a message introduced earlier this week. If you missed any portion, we'll begin with helpful highlights as we discover the apostles wrestling with changing times. Chuck begins in Acts chapter 11 as we talk about flexing with a future in flux.
With sweet pickles and ham on his breath, Peter makes his way back to the ranch. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren, you've got Jewish tradition written all over those titles. Back in Judea, there were the apostles and the brethren who heard that Gentiles had received the word of God. Well, they were pleased that they had been preached to. That was the mandate. But they were very uneasy about something else. Verses 2 and 3 tell us what that is. When Peter came to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them? You fraternized with Gentiles? To preach is one thing, to spend a few days with them, something else." What's the trouble? See, it's not even a question, it's an indictment. This is Judaistic institutionalism in the raw. Written between the lines are the words, "How dare you? How dare you do that? How could you spend time with Gentiles?" It's a good time to say something, by the way, about that. In every organization, you have a 10-80-10 setup. One of the 10% is innovation or innovators. 10% would be innovators. These are people who risk. They will tolerate most any new idea. Risks don't make them very nervous. It's not that they're irresponsible, they're just risky. Usually, the stronger and most effective leaders are innovative leaders. The 80% would be called maintainers. A maintainer is one who is reluctant to change until all of the facts and figures are in place, and there is a fairly accurate prediction that can be made so as to make the future feasible. Nothing wrong with maintainers. As a matter of fact, we need them. Every organization needs them. And the final 10%, the inhibitors. These are people who, regardless of the facts, will not change. And strangely and tragically, they are the reason most men move quickly from pastorate to pastorate, because of the 16% who resist change. It seems tragic because that means 84% are willing to change. The trouble is the 16% usually get into leadership and they inhibit growth. Now, it's beautiful to see that these men that Peter stood before were not inhibitors, I'm convinced. Let's be fair with them. They are the maintainer mentalities. They need facts. They need to be taken step by step along the way. Maintainers need time as a manager. You can't expect a maintainer to see the vision that the person who is the innovator has. You've got to bring that along. It has to be spelled out very carefully. And look at what Peter does. I take my hat off to him. Verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4. Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, he methodically and as emotionless as possible explain what happened. I'll let you read most of it yourself, but I'll just hit the high points. I was in a certain city, verse 5. Joppa. And in a vision, God showed me some things, and he began to do some new things. And then along with that, verse 9, a voice came from heaven, men, and told me what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Now, this is new, Peter, but it isn't unholy. It's just new. You can eat that. You can trust me. Verse 15, now watch. As I began to speak, men, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered, now there's the deja vu, I remembered something. Men, when I stood in their midst, I remembered Pentecost. And I remembered how Jesus used to say when we sat by the seaside that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I remembered it happened at Pentecost. And here it is, it happened at Joppa. The same thing happened there, and it has credibility, men. Who was I to argue with what God was doing? New, yes. Wrong, no. See, that's what is difficult for the maintainer. The maintainer tends to feel the new is questionable and maybe wrong. And he or she needs to be shown carefully with evidence and time. It's okay. It's worth the try. Now, verse 17, this is the transition. Watch carefully. He addresses the problem of the inhibitor, its fixation. If God therefore gave to them the same gift he gave to us, also, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? 10 words that ought to be underlined in every Bible. Who was I that I could stand in God's way? Now, the tendency on the part of the inhibitor is to play games with vision. They are about as effective in leadership as rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. But nevertheless, they try. It is not uncommon to find them busily engaged and yet only superficially addressing the issues. Came across a cute piece in Christianity Today some years ago called A Meeting of the Board. It's kind of a satire of a modern-day meeting of Jesus with his disciples as many church boards operate today. Listen, Pete speaks. This meeting has been called at the request of Matt, John, Tom, and little Jim. Bart, lead in prayer. Bart. Almighty God, we ask your blessing on all we do and say, and we earnestly pray that you will see our side as your side. Amen. Pete, Jesus, we've been following you around for some time, and we're getting concerned about the attendance figures. Tom, how many were on the hill yesterday? 37. Pete, it's getting ridiculous. You're going to have to pep things up. We expect things to happen. John, I'd like to suggest you pull off more miracles. That walking on the water was the most exciting thing I've ever seen, but only a few of us got to look at it. Now, if 1,000 or so had a chance to witness it, we would have more than we could handle on the hill. Little Jim, I agree. The healing miracles are terrific, but only a limited number really get to see what's happened. Let's have more water to wine, more fish and chips. It never hurts to fill their stomachs. Still more storms, Jesus. Give more signs. That's what people need. Peter, right. Another thing, publicity is essential, and you tell half the people you cure to keep it quiet. Let the word get around. Matt, now I'm for miracles, but I want to hear a few more stories I can understand. This, those who have ears to hear, let him hear business, just clouds the issue. Got to make it clear, Jesus. Gonna have to pep things up, Big Jim. I'd like to offer an order of service. First a story, then a big miracle, followed by an offering. Then maybe a saying or poem or something, followed by a small miracle to bring them back again. Boy, you can pray if you like. Tom, we got to do something, Little Jim, that's for sure. Attendance is awful. Judas. I'd just like to say, if we're going to keep meeting in the upper room, we got to do something about this carpet. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Some of you can't smile at that. Hits too close to home, doesn't it? We're not in the Titanic business. We're in the church business. We're in the future business. We're in the changing of lives business. And if we're not careful, we'll be so concerned about how many are on the hill and what's being served and all of the silly forms it takes, that will occupy our time. Protecting, criticizing, maintaining, rather than risking, really risking something new. Well, I gotta hand it to these guys. That's why I say they're maintainers and not inhibitors. Look at 18. When they heard this, what? Who was I that I could stand in God's way? That 10-word motto that ought to be on every mirror of every Christian in every home in America. When they heard this, they quieted down. That in itself is remarkable. Second, they glorified God. They connected vertically. And then they said, I love the way it reads, well then, can't you just see him stroking their beard? Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Issue closed. Get at it. I mean, is that exciting? There are answers that are right, but they'll make us uncomfortable if we're inhibitor types. Five of them, all of which begin with the words, it is essential. Number one, it is essential that we remain calm. I get that from their response. They got quiet. We don't need just a lot of cheerleading, a lot of emotional highs. There are enough churches that go on emotion only. We need to go about this in a calm, deliberate, quiet, yet authentic manner. It's essential we remain calm and think through our plan. Second, it's essential that we glorify God as they did. We're not on an ego trip. We're not trying to outstrip what every other church has done or every other ministry has done or what's ever been done by any other thing in the history of time. Oh boy, that'll drive you nuts. It's essential that we glorify God, not build an empire. It's essential that God be glorified in our vision. Third, it is essential that we walk through doors God opens. Now that wording is important. There are doors yet to be opened that are just as amazing as the opening of the Gentile door in the first century. There are technological breakthroughs that'll make us suck in our breath if we're inhibitors. There are styles of worship that will just make us shake our head wondering, are we too close to the edge? I remember when I introduced spontaneous a cappella singing in our church. I don't know how many letters I got from people telling me we were going charismatic. Come on, give me a break. I remember when we moved the doxology from the first to the last of the service. I had a dear gal say to me, I didn't know it would work there. Work? Believe me, Jesus never sang the doxology. You don't believe that, some of you. And you know, the wonderful thing about the church is that we are on the edge. We have so few inhibitors. It's a marvelous place to minister. I wouldn't get away with most of the stuff I get away with in any other place. Why do you think I stay? You're willing to risk. That's why it's exciting to be around this place. We're not going to get into that mold that often traps a church. When that happens, believe me, I'm not going to be around. I want nothing to do with that kind of ministry. Inhibiting ministry is not my bag. But I sure want to walk through doors God opened. I don't want to open them, but I sure am willing to knock on them and give them a little shove. If they open, I'm going. And I think most of you are too. Four, it is essential that we willingly flex and adapt. It is essential that we willingly flex and adapt. And I will add in parenthesis, inhibitors must be opposed. We can't kowtow to inhibitors. Never have here, and we don't plan to start. Fifth, it's essential that we continually evaluate. Continually evaluate. Interested in reading something of the history of our nation recently. I just got in the mood for it and a little quiet moment, and I came across some words from John Adams that were so effective. All great changes are irksome to the human mind, especially those which are attended with great dangers and uncertain effects. I need individuals around me who calm me down, tell me to think through a little further, ask for facts, and call me into account. I need that, always will. I don't always want it, but I need it. But I'm an innovator. It's the way God made me, not the way I was raised. I'll guarantee you it's not the way I was raised. It's not the way my wife was raised. But for some reason, God just made us into innovator types. Sometime I wish it weren't true. It's scary out there. Sometime you have a moment of real delight, like some time ago. I've never told this story. I did in the early service, but not before this. When we were going to move from our older facilities to these new ones, and we were on the verge of it, and right then really hustling to get the money and to pray and to wait on God's timing, and we found the land. And well, there were some that just were convinced it was wrong, and as I look around, I think probably it was a fairly wise decision, and I'm glad our men and women in this congregation had the kind of vision it took to do it. It's now history, but at the time, we had some that were relatively vocal, and one especially took it, kind of made it a personal project. I was kind of his pen pal, and I always answered the letters, and I never publicized it. I didn't feel it was my job. I felt I was dealing with an inhibitor, and that's part of it. But this person moved over with us. I thought, sure, that individual would stay there, but came. And not long ago, I saw him showing some friends of theirs who were from out of state around the new area. And I stood behind a post, I must confess. And these friends said, my, what vision it took. He said, yeah, it was tough, but we were convinced God could do it. You know what I thought? Great. I thought, here's an inhibitor who may have become a maintainer. And that's a giant step for some. Now listen to me. Some of you have been inhibiting with the gospel. You have. You've seen lives changed all around your circle. Maybe your own wife or husband. You may have seen your children's lives changed. You've seen this church grow and begin to make an impact, not here only, but on a world. Often in spite of the leadership. God gets the credit for this leadership. But you have consistently resisted believing in Christ Jesus as your Savior. That is the most pathetic scene I can imagine, is to be an inhibitor of salvation. You've just put it off. Just put it off like Agrippa. Almost you persuade me to be one of those Christians, but not quite. Today, turn the corner. Change. God is so good to have given you this great moment to turn. Believe me, it may be true that a tree is best measured when it's down, but it's too late if you're talking about salvation. There's no chance after you're down. It's got to be now.
I want to remind you of those statistics I quoted earlier. In any organization, 10% are innovators, 80% are maintainers, and 10% are the inhibitors. Where are you in that group? Which one represents your style, your response to the need for flexibility in light of a future that is forever in a state of flux? I'd like you to bow right now. And I want to speak especially to you who are inhibitors, you who, no matter what the facts may be, have determined you're going to restrain or resist. You're going to hold back. And this may be true in your life regarding Christ. It just may be that you have inhibited His working in your life. You have resisted and restrained His becoming the sole Savior of your soul. I urge you now to turn to Him, to trust in Him, to believe in Him only by faith alone. And who knows but what He could change you from what you have been so long through your life to an innovator, one who is willing to change and adapt and flex as He guides you into a future that will call for change and flexibility. Lord, therefore, I pray today that You will use this message in a special way to touch the hearts of all of us in whatever category we may fall. Teach us, Lord, on the importance of remaining calm, the value of glorifying Your name in all that happens. Enable us, Lord, with courage to walk through doors that You open and to flex and adapt willingly, whatever may occur. And help us, our Father, to evaluate continually our lives and the events that happen about us. Especially for the inhibitors, do I pray that You will bring them to faith, break their hearts, change their minds, and cause them to turn fully to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Listening to Insight for Living, and a message from Chuck Swindoll called Flexing with a Future in Flux. Find it online at insightworld.org. We'll hear an important closing comment from Chuck in just a moment. It's possible you're listening today wishing you could share this Bible teaching with your church leadership. Well, the complete presentation is about an hour in length, and you can purchase the CD or MP3 file right now. Again, it's called Flexing with a Future in Flux. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. While you have a little extra leisure time this coming weekend, we invite you to stop by our website and check out the wide variety of resources prepared for you. For instance, if you're searching for a church to attend that believes in the same principles Chuck described today, be sure to look at this dedicated webpage at insight.org/church. Chuck wrote a helpful article about how to recognize a healthy church. Well, we're also hoping you'll take advantage of a very special book today called Undone. Chuck, it's amusing to hear personal stories of victory and fame and success, but frankly, most of us resonate with stories that are more like our own.
Well, of course, Dave. Most of us don't operate in the realm of victory, fame, and success. Most of us are just trying to get through the day. And some listening right now do so with enormous challenges to overcome. That's why we're highly recommending Michelle Cushat's new memoir. It's called Undone, a story of making peace with an unexpected life. Whether you're facing financial trouble, physical illness, or you've been disappointed or surprised by a recent turn of events, you'll want to read Michelle's encouraging words. I'm highly recommending her new book to you. Give us a call or go online. Maybe you'd rather write a letter today. Request the book, Undone.
And it's yours when you give a donation to Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, mention that you'd like to have a copy of Michelle's new book, Undone, when you call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. That's insight.org. Finally, if it's your first time connecting with us, we'd like to send a classic booklet from Chuck Swindoll that's helped countless readers around the world. It's called Destiny. To receive your free copy, just call this number and mention the booklet Destiny. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/destiny. I'm Dave Spiker. On Monday, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll describe how to help our nation survive. Tune in next time for Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Flexing with a Future in Flux, was copyrighted in 1984, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.